You're listening to Security Wire Weekly for November 1st, 2006. I'm Bill Brenner. Thanks for joining us. This week, a flaw is found in the newly released Firefox 2.0, and Oracle database administrator John Emmons joins me for a discussion on the database giant's security efforts. But first, our top story. Security researchers are warning of four new flaws attackers could exploit to compromise Windows machines, two of which affect Internet Explorer users. According to a series of advisories posted in recent days, an ActiveX function within Internet Explorer contains an unspecified flaw that remote, unauthenticated attackers could exploit to launch malicious code or cause the browser to crash. Danish vulnerability clearinghouse Secunia uncovered another flaw in the newly released Internet Explorer 7. This is the third IE7 flaw the firm claims to have found in the last 2 weeks, and attackers could exploit it to spoof the content of legitimate websites. Organizations using an Internet connection sharing program, meanwhile, are vulnerable to a Windows flaw attackers could exploit to cause a denial of service. Finally, attackers could exploit a new zero-day flaw in Microsoft Visual Studio 2005 to run malicious code on targeted machines. For information on how to blunt the Visual Studio threat, users can visit Microsoft's TechNet website. In other news, a security flaw has been found in the newly released Firefox 2.0 browser. According to US CERT, Firefox 1507 and 2.0 allows remote attackers to cause a denial of service through a series of steps that ultimately triggers a null dereference condition. It's unclear when Mozilla might address the issue. And now, a word from our sponsor.
As an information security professional, you've no doubt heard of Nmap, the popular freeware tool. It can be a huge help in the enterprise when searching for available hosts and services or pinpointing open ports. However, installing, configuring, and running Nmap in the enterprise is no easy task. With that in mind, SearchSecurity.com has teamed up with security expert Michael Cobb to create an Nmap technical guide. This guide details exactly how you can use Nmap to make your organization more secure. This guide is available for free at SearchSecurity.com/Nmap. Again, that's SearchSecurity.com/Nmap. Check it out today.
For this week's Security Spotlight segment, we're taking a look at Oracle Security. In October, Oracle released its quarterly patch update, also known as a CPU, which fixed 101 flaws across its product line. Oracle also released a streamlined bulletin with more detail on the flaws and their severity. The changes were in response to feedback from customers who have found past bulletins overly complicated and short on specifics. John Emmons is a database administrator and keeper of a popular blog called Life After Coffee, which focuses on Oracle security and a range of other topics. He joins me this morning to discuss his thoughts on the new bulletin format and Oracle's security efforts in general. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bill.
So, John, let me ask you first, what are your initial observations on the new look of the CPU bulletin? Oracle touted the fact that it's now offering more detail on the number of flaws fixed and their severity. Did you find this to be the case when looking at the bulletin?
Well, the bulletin's definitely an improvement. Oracle seems to have made, I think, a bigger deal out of this improvement than they maybe should have. The major changes that caught my eye going through this were the base score, which is a nice overview of the severity of the flaw that's getting patched. And the other big improvement was the executive summary that they provided. And that gives a really high level, real English words, describes the flaws that are being patched in this CPU, and that is a nice thing that you could send to your manager, you could send to your CEO, you could send to your chief security officer. You don't have to understand Oracle to understand that part of things, and that I think is really key. And it's really those two pieces of summary information that I think are the most significant improvements.
Now, let me ask you, do you agree with some of the security experts in the past who have really railed against the format of these bulletins as being hopelessly complicated and hard to digest? Or do you think that that was a bit on the unfair side?
I definitely agree that when you start into this, it's hard to digest. And when you start in as an Oracle administrator, there are a lot of things that are hard to digest. The summary information is a big help, and it's still stepping through, knowing what the technologies mean. Oracle's been more than a few times described as acronym soup, and if you take a class from Oracle, it's just acronyms all week long. And you have to know when you go through one of these what J2EE is talking about and what all of these things are talking about. I don't think there's any getting over that part of the learning curve. Mm-hmm. But it's a matter of to make them actually easier to digest, I think you'd have to put much less information in them. And I don't think that's what people want either. So it's kind of a dichotomy that the security experts are the ones saying that it's too hard to digest. But there's a lot of information there. What could be easier, in my opinion, and what I think Oracle could make great strides with very little effort in doing, is making it easier to find the patch once you've identified what you need. If you look through these patch reports, okay, you know that you need to apply this patch, and then you need to find the patch.
Mm-hmm.
And that involves going off to another Metalink node, which you need a Metalink account to get into, but anybody with Oracle support should have a Metalink account. And then you need to go from that first Metalink node. That will only let you identify the patch number that you need.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you, that's a pretty good segue into this next question, and that is, as a database administrator, do you think the number of flaws this time around and their severity, do you think it's par for the course compared to what you see every quarter? Or do you think that this latest CPU gives you a particularly long task ahead to get all your systems patched?
The number of flaws is a bit higher than normal.
Mm-hmm.
But the nice thing is, and this was a change that Oracle made about 2 years ago, that they're all rolled into one big patch. So the load on the administrator is not significantly different whether there are 100 patches or a dozen patches.
Mm-hmm.
It's applying the patch to the Oracle install and then applying the patch to each database beyond that. 2 years ago, they made a change to this quarterly patch system, and before then, it was, when a patch was ready to go, they rolled it out, and you got an email, and you had to stop everything you were doing. And these were coming, sometimes it would be a couple months between them.
Mm-hmm.
More often it would only be a week or maybe a couple weeks. And in that kind of rolling sense, I found myself doing a lot more patching in those days than I do now.
Well, let me ask you, from beginning to end, you don't have to go into every blow-by-blow step, but from beginning to end, how long during a typical quarter does it take from the time the CPU is released to the time that you have all of the patches deployed?
Well, the first step to that is always convincing people that, yeah, you need to take the systems down and do them.
Mm-hmm.
And scheduling all that. Typically, there's a testing period where the patch should be applied to a test database. That's usually at least a week of user testing, and then that patch would be taken into production in maybe the next week. So it might take 2 or 3 weeks typically to get from being notified about the patch to being ready to put it into place in production, depending on what you find in user testing, but also depending on how much user testing you do. And that's really the big variable there is, does your company want you to test absolutely everything possible? Do they have a QA department that's going to do that for you in a test environment? Or is it a smaller shop? Typically, in smaller shops, you might just even roll it out into production and then deal with the fallout from there.
Mm-hmm. Now let me ask you, Oracle, as I mentioned a bit ago, they've taken quite a bit of flack in the past from a lot of security experts, and some of the common criticisms have been that Oracle sits on flaws for too long, sometimes for a year or more, and that they don't always properly fix a flaw as advertised when a CPU comes out. For you, as somebody who has to spend some time each quarter installing these patches, and dealing with Oracle in general, do you think that that's a fair assessment, or has your experience been better than that?
Maybe I've been lucky, but I haven't had problems that have been. I haven't had any of these security problems that have been exploited in sites that I've been at. Some of these things, yes, Oracle could respond more quickly to, but realistically, I can't imagine that Oracle's sitting on these and not working on them. Oracle is, of course, big and complex, and so any security update, any patch, any changes to their code base is going to be a great amount of development and testing on their end. And the other thing that I think is worth keeping in mind is that for some of these security problems, they're able to release workarounds, and they'll share a workaround that says, okay, if you remove this privilege, this was the case with one of the security problems in the July patch that came out, was fixed in the July patch. Before the patch came out, they said if you remove a certain privilege from any of your users that are connecting through an Oracle application server, then this is not a security risk. Mm-hmm. And that type of thing is hugely beneficial to those of us in the field. And, you know, that buys them a lot of leeway in my book.
Again, Database Administrator John Emmons, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
And that's Security Wire Weekly from SearchSecurity.com. The latest corporate security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. And you can download past episodes of Security Wire Weekly on our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. I'm Bill Brenner. Thanks for listening.